Breaking news tonight, massive, potentially catastrophic tornadoes exploding on the ground right now. A major new outbreak caught on camera with millions on high alert again. The feds go to war on a blockbuster battle over North Carolina's controversial bathroom law. A governor refusing to back down, the U.S. Attorney General invoking Jim Crow in a passionate response. Getting personal, Donald Trump takes aim at Hillary Clinton over her husband's past and who'd be better for women. And Trump caught in a web over shifting positions on taxes. And hospital shock. You think you're covered by insurance, and then the bill comes, and you're on the hook for thousands. Avoid surprises, the questions and answers every patient should be asking. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Outbreak. As we come on the air, tornadoes are on the ground in Oklahoma, one reported to be a mile wide at the start of what is expected to be a dangerous evening in that part of the country. This ominous tornado captured on live cameras as it roared outside Oklahoma City just a short time ago. Oklahoma, along with parts of northeastern Texas and Arkansas, are under tornado watches right now, with severe thunderstorm watches posted into Nebraska. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in the danger zone with late-breaking details.
Late today, powerful tornadoes touching down across Oklahoma.
That's an F4 tornado. That's violent, violent motion.
This one near Mill Creek, ripping homes from their foundations. At least two people killed. Parts of Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas in the bullseye for relentless wind and hail, as 18 million Americans are at risk for severe weather.
Storms likely to go well past dark tonight, from Kansas City to St. Louis, pushing south into Memphis, and likely including Little Rock as well. Tornadoes are not out of the question.
The menacing, slow-moving line of storms is slogging east after producing wild weather over the weekend.
Mike, I can't see any debris under it, but that's going to be your tornado right there. It's a big white cone right now.
This brief tornado near Marlow, Oklahoma, in Lawton, flash floods and high winds stranded drivers in their cars. In West Texas, pounding hail up to the size of baseballs, while this twister was spotted in Kansas. The sprawling system also spawned tornadoes across Colorado, slicing through this neighborhood.
Shocking. It's shocking. It's unbelievable.
But apparently giving this prom picture a stunning backdrop. In Arizona, Flagstaff blanketed with snow in the spring, but rain and hail nearby blamed for two deaths on I-40. Tonight, the storms are roaring through Oklahoma, marching east. Tornado watches are in effect across several states, and for many communities across this region, it could be a very long night. Lester?
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. Tonight, a blockbuster clash is brewing over transgender rights and North Carolina's so-called bathroom law. The state's governor is going to the mat, taking on the U.S. government and suing the Obama administration. The feds shot right back with a lawsuit of their own and strong words from the attorney general. It could lead to a landmark decision. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams has details.
Both sides turned up the heat today in the battle over transgender rights, beginning with Governor Pat McCrory, who sued the federal government to defend his state's new law that forbids people to use the bathrooms of their gender identity instead of the sex on their birth certificates.
We believe a court, rather than a federal agency, should tell our state, our nation, and employers across the country what the law requires.
His lawsuit says the federal government's effort to stop enforcement of the law is a blatant overreach. Civil rights law, he says, does not outlaw discrimination based on someone's transgender status. Governor McCrory said he was acting in part to prevent the federal government from cutting off $4.3 billion in federal funds for the state's public schools and universities. Today, the U.S. Attorney General fired back, announcing a federal lawsuit against North Carolina, her home state. It wasn't so long ago, she said, that restroom signs in the state kept some people out for no good reason.
Let us write a different story this time. Let us not act out of fear and misunderstanding, but out of the values of inclusion and diversity and regard for all that make our country great.
And she had this message for transgendered people.
We see you. We stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward.
The state's economy is already paying a price for standing by the law, losing an estimated $200 million in income from canceled events. And some small businesses, like this Raleigh gift shop, say it's hurting them too.
Tourists are not coming into the store because tourists are not coming to Raleigh because tourists are not coming to North Carolina.
Officials here say they want to see how the University of North Carolina itself responds before any decisions about cutting off school funding. And for now, the law remains in effect, though the Justice Department is asking a judge to block it. Lester?
Pete Williams, thank you. Tonight, in what appears to be a preview of a big general election fight, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are trading barbs over who would be better for women. Trump invoking Bill Clinton's past to fend off attacks on his own history of controversial comments. Meantime, Hillary Clinton is trying to court Republican women in a crucial swing state. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has more.
Hi.
Tonight, the battle for the women's vote. Back to the future. Donald Trump with his most personal attacks yet on Bill Clinton for the scandals of the 90s.
Hillary Clinton's husband abused women more than any man that we know of in the history of politics, right?
And calling Hillary Clinton an enabler.
She was an unbelievably nasty, mean enabler. And what she did to a lot of those women is disgraceful. So put that in her bonnet and let's see what happens.
Echoing an accusation from Monica Lewinsky 2 years ago that Hillary Clinton had an impulse to blame the woman. Clinton responding today.
Donald Trump has really gone after your husband and even you as an enabler for the scandals of the 1990s.
Yeah, I'm going to let him run his campaign however he chooses. I'm going to run my campaign, which is about a positive vision for our country.
Clinton making a play for Republican women voters today in a suburban Virginia swing district, focusing on issues like equal pay.
I raise it all the time and you know, I'm accused of playing the gender card and all of that. And the fact is that it's a real problem.
In this neighborhood, Trump's revival of the 90s scandals aren't working with Republican women like Stacey Stiles.
It would make me not vote for Trump. I think that's making him look even worse in the eyes of the female voters, especially married voters.
So you would vote for Hillary Clinton, or you would consider voting for Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I would.
Kat Huff, also Republican, will not vote for Clinton, but is not sure about Trump.
Will you vote for Donald Trump?
I don't know.
Tonight, Republican strategists tell NBC News they are mystified as to why Trump, with a 69% negative rating among women in our latest poll, would get so personal and so negative so soon. And they say it is unlikely to work. Lester?
All right, Andrea. And as Trump battles Clinton, he's also caught up in that civil war of his own. Major Republicans remain bitterly divided over him as their nominee. And Trump's shifting position over the bedrock issue of taxes is only making some in the party more uneasy. NBC's Peter Alexander explains.
Under Donald Trump, the GOP's new motto may as well be "Divided We Stand." House Speaker Paul Ryan conceding today, if Trump asks him, he'd step down as chair of the party's convention.
He's the nominee. I'll do whatever he wants with respect to the convention. To pretend reunified isn't going to put us at full strength and win in the fall. We have to actually unify.
Trump's expressing little interest in reconciliation.
I've gotten tremendous endorsements. I didn't get it from Ryan, though. Can you imagine? Paul Ryan.
The unprecedented civil war now pitting the party's last two vice presidential nominees against one another. Trump supporter Sarah Palin warning Ryan he may have cost himself re-election in his Republican primary this summer.
I think Paul Ryan is soon to be cantered as an Eric Cantor. His political career is over.
One flashpoint hovering over their meeting this Thursday, Trump's ambiguity on taxes. The billionaire's official plan calls for cuts for everybody, the biggest beneficiaries, the rich. But Trump's now signaling flexibility at best, contradicting himself at worst. On the Today Show last month.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do, including myself.
Then this yesterday.
For the wealthy, I think, frankly, it's going to go up. And you know what? It really should go up.
And less than 24 hours later.
If I increase to the wealthy, that means they're still going to be paying less than they pay now. I'm not talking about increasing from this point. I'm talking about increasing from my tax proposal.
Even within his party, Trump's critics are demanding clarity.
Anytime somebody is saying a different thing every day, you get the sensation that there's not a policy rudder. It's what's selling to the latest campaign crowd.
And Donald Trump is already looking beyond the convention, today announcing that Chris Christie will head up his transition team for a possible Trump administration. But tonight, underscoring this party's divisions, Marco Rubio says he does not want to be considered for Trump's VP. Lester?
Peter Alexander tonight. Thank you, Peter. Now to a look inside the devastation left behind by that massive wildfire inferno in Canada. Nearly 100,000 people have evacuated, some 2,400 structures destroyed. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has been on the fire lines and has more from Alberta as teams survey the destruction.
Today, this is what assessment teams found in Fort McMurray, parts of the city standing.
It is a home you will return to.
But some neighborhoods are decimated, an estimated 15% of homes gone. One of Alberta's largest cities, a ghost town. There is no power, safe drinking water, or gas here.
It's going to be hard when we first go back.
Yeah.
Just to see it is going to be hard.
Nearly 100,000 fled the flames, many airlifted. Over the weekend, thousands more driving to safety, running a gauntlet of fire and smoke.
It looks apocalyptic, really.
Their numbers doubled the size of some towns where they find shelter.
We're not evacuees anymore. We're refugees. We've lost everything.
April Bulger is still waiting to be reunited with her 9-year-old daughter, Brianna.
I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping. I just want to see my kids. I want them all in one, under one roof.
Though fire is moving away from homes, this blaze can and has turned on a dime. It's feeding on dry forest, a seemingly endless supply of fuel.
This is what worries firefighters most. These towering trees are bone dry, and they are explosive, like matchsticks.
Already larger than Los Angeles, winds may push this fire another 25 miles. But in Fort McMurray, the damage is done. At least 2,400 structures are gone, a pile of rubble that families used to call home.
With 1,000 firefighters said to be on the ground shortly, an army of helicopters continue to crisscross the sky, dropping water on this blaze. It won't be out for weeks, they say. As for those evacuees, they will likely be able to return home in a few weeks. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer, thank you. The parents of an 11-year-old girl are demanding answers after she was horrifically injured on a ride at a pop-up carnival. These kinds of fairs travel from town to town, but who's responsible for making sure they're safe? NBC's Morgan Radford found that tens of thousands get injured on amusement rides every single year.
11-year-old Elizabeth Gilreath, seen here at a carnival ride in Omaha, Nebraska, had no idea what was about to happen.
I was on a ride that malfunctioned, struck the child in the head.
Moments later, she was violently thrown to the floor as her hair got caught in the ride, tearing her scalp and fracturing her skull.
They don't even know if the muscles will work and my daughter will be able to see again. That is our baby.
State authorities say the ride was inspected in April without any sign of damage. The company says it values the safety and health of our guests above all else. The thoughts and prayers are with the young girl and her family.
We've never had an incident, so again, there's an ongoing investigation.
Safety experts say pop-up carnival rides can be safe, but have limited federal oversight and are regulated differently state by state.
There have been cases where carnivals did get up and leave a location after someone was injured. Unfortunately, the way the system is designed, it can still happen today.
An estimated 300 million people get on carnival rides every year. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission says more than 30,000 people went to emergency rooms last year for injuries related to amusement attractions. As for Elizabeth, she's in critical condition, but her parents are hopeful.
Everybody played a big role in this saving my daughter's life, and I cannot thank them enough.
Morgan Radford, NBC News.
A violent Mother's Day weekend on the streets of Chicago. 8 people were killed and 41 others wounded by gun violence in just over 48 hours. The most violent weekend there in 7 months. Advocacy groups have been calling for peace over the holiday, but those pleas were ignored. Violence is skyrocketing in Chicago at a pace that hasn't been seen since the 90s. Still ahead tonight, surprise medical bills. Are you one of the millions of Americans blindsided at the mailbox? One woman billed for $100,000 for services she thought insurance had covered. How you can avoid that kind of shock. Also, a facelift in a bottle, new cream developed at MIT that can supposedly erase years from your face without surgery or Botox. We're back now with a nasty surprise lurking in the mailbox for millions. Over a third of Americans say they've been hit with jaw-dropping medical bills they didn't know were coming. NBC's Olivia Stern has more on the questions you need to be asking.
And then I got the balance bill.
When Claudia Canafo got a bill for $100,000, she panicked.
I was up all night. I just felt so horrible. I just kept blaming myself that I had missed something.
The bill for a spine surgery that Claudia, a concert pianist, was certain her insurance would cover.
How did you know you were covered?
I called the doctor's office and I said, this is my insurance. My neurologist has recommended you, and am I covered? They said, yes, just bring your card down so we can make a copy.
One by one, Claudia checked with the hospital, the patient coordinator, even taking a picture of the surgeon's website.
I did beyond my homework. I did my due diligence.
But it turns out the surgeon had stopped taking her insurance. And while the hospital was in network, the anesthesiologist was not.
And then I thought, I have to divorce my beloved husband. We'll protect my son's college education. And I was in despair.
Claudia is not alone. According to a recent survey, 37% of people who recently went to a hospital received a surprise bill.
It's an enormous problem.
Eventually, she sought help from Benjamin Lawski, who supervised insurance companies for New York State.
What should consumers know if they get a bill like this?
They should fight it, and they should be loud, and they should contact their attorney general's office in their state. They should contact their insurance regulator in their state.
To avoid a surprise medical bill in the first place, get a list of all the staff treating you and get written confirmation they'll take your insurance. After 3 years of fighting, the doctors negotiated a fee her insurance agreed to pay. And now Claudia is back to doing what she loves. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with a rare journey in our solar system that you'll have to wait years to see again. Scientists from Harvard and MIT today unveiled what they say could be the future of fighting wrinkles. It's a cream that researchers say forms something of a second skin, if you will, that smooths wrinkles and tightens baggy eyes. They say it could be also used to treat eczema and psoriasis, maybe even deliver medicine to the skin. It is still being patented and tested, but the results on patients have been so promising, with few side effects, they were ready to show it off. Rare, awe-inspiring sight in our solar system today as Mercury traveled across the sun, something that only happens about 13 times a century. It was impossible to see with the naked eye, but NASA offered a live stream that showed the tiny black dot of Mercury as it made its journey. It won't happen again until 2019, then 2032 after that. Thanks for watching. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, good night.